T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jay Paterno is joining us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You just heard that quote. Now, that was from a couple mornings ago with Ken and Anthony. And I just want to know, like, Jay, first and foremost, before we get into the game Saturday, and you got a book out as well, what was said to the quarterback who missed on an opportunity to target and possibly exploit Dustin Fox on the defense? Like, was it an earful? And what was that conversation like if he wasn't able to exploit D Fox?
Well, you know, I went back and looked at some notes because I still got some old game plans and stuff. And Ohio State scheme back then, Dustin was generally the boundary corner. Am I right, Dustin?
Yeah, you're correct about that.
And the boundary corner Ohio State scheme, I think Malcolm Jenkins may have played that same position for a year or two. But that guy was the better tackler. He was the guy that was in your wideout's face all the time, and you had to get up. You had to really get to the safety and get behind him. I think in the 4 years we played Dustin, I think we maybe got behind him once or twice, but that's about it. I mean, he was a handful, but and was good in terms of the corner blitz off the boundary and everything. So he was a heck of a player. We tried like hell to get him at Penn State, and you know, he went with the four uncles rather than his brother. So,
Jay, good to talk to you, man.
But he was great competing against him, and I have the utmost respect for him.
It was, well, here's the thing. You know, and I say this all the time, Jay. I was so close to going to Penn State, you know, going to every game for 4 years, watching my brother play, getting to know you and Scrap, and, you know, knowing Shiano early on, and Coach Joe for forever too. I mean, it was a tough decision, and you know, I committed early to Coach Cooper, and then kind of decommitted, and then was going to go to you guys, and then of course Tress comes in, and I mean, Tress is, you know how impressive Tressel is, and it has nothing to do against
nothing to do against
your pops or you or anybody else. It was just like, oh my God, the family thing happened too, so it was like a lot of pressure there.
Well,
and
you know,
as an 18-year-old kid,
got there. We had Claret about sewn up before Tress got there. We had AJ Hawk just about ready to go. You know, he came out with his dad. So we had a couple of really, really good players that we were in pretty good shape with. And then Tress got in and did a great job with those guys. And as you know, those guys became the foundation of some really, really good football teams.
Well, it's funny.
Tress, I have nothing but the greatest respect for Tress.
And when you guys recruited me, I mean, Scrap was Tom Bradley, who was the secondary coach and coordinator, was recruiting me as a safety, as did Ohio State. I never really played corner until basically it was an injury emergency situation my freshman year, and all of a sudden I just became the starter. And you're right, I mean, I was kind of a safety playing corner, so they put me out there in the boundary, made a lot of tackles, and just did my best to kind of hold on for dear life sometimes and be physical with some of these guys down the field, and it worked out for 4 years there. So happy about the decision. You know, obviously a lot of love and respect for the Lions as well.
You couldn't have gone wrong, and that's a good problem to have.
I'd have lost a lot more games at Penn State, by the way.
Well, if you had been there, you might have changed that. So there you go.
That's a good point. That's a good
there
point.
You
I'm,
go.
Teasing. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. We got the national championship, which was great. And again, Penn State's been nothing but great to me and my family. And Derek's, you know, obviously a lifer and all that. So it's great to talk to you, man. Tell me about the book.
I saw some clips on him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be on wheels when he gets out to Rutgers, especially with great coaching. But anyway.
Yeah. Tell me about the book, man. I heard you talking about it a little bit the other morning. It sounds awesome.
Well, you know, basically, after many, many years in coaching, 22 years, whatever it is, and kind of just sharing stories with friends and family, a lot of people said, you ought to write a book about this stuff because nobody would believe some of the stuff that goes on. And so I started to outline, and I went, I can't write this with people's names because someone's going to put a bomb in my car when I started up. So I said, let's write this as a fiction. These are all real stories. And that way I can change the name to protect the innocent, the not so innocent, the flat-out guilty. And so I basically started with Ohio State losing a bowl game after having just lost to Michigan. So right away you know it's fiction because they have lost to Michigan the year before. So the coach gets told, hey, you've got 1 year to win or else. And it takes you through an entire year of what it's like and all the things that challenges to his integrity. They get, you know, some recruit asks for money or another recruit's father asks for a job. What do they do? A player gets in trouble, maybe falsely accused, but there's all this media pressure to suspend them. How do you handle that? What's it like when you go home and the tension has gotten into your house and the relationship between the coach and his wife? So it takes you through all those things through the course of a year. And, you know, it really shows you what kind of pressures there are. And Ohio State, I've told people, it's in some ways it's the best job in the country. In some ways it's the most difficult because the pressures there are probably more unique than anywhere else.
Yeah, I was, and we're talking to Jay Paterno here joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I was saying earlier on the show, Jay, that it reminds me, at least the way you set it up there and what I've been hearing about the book, it reminds me of a book that John Feinstein wrote years ago, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but he wrote a book years ago about a kid going to the Final Four and having to deal with, it was a fiction book, but having to deal with all of the, you know, he's got agents after him, he's got a, you know, the better gamblers, point shaving and stuff like that. And it wasn't one that I expected because it wasn't one that I was used to from John Feinstein. It ended up being like one of my favorite books. So I'm actually very – I would think, and you can tell us this, I know you jokingly said or maybe not jokingly that you had to make it fiction, otherwise you would have been fearing for your life. But I would imagine it would really allow you to be much more open in terms of what it's really like. And Feinstein, I know in that book, was really open about what it's like for, you know, college hoops players. That was, my gosh, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, the setting as a novel allowed me to tell true stories without worrying about, if I said, hey, on page, you know, certain page, this recruiting story, and I told you who it was about, you would know exactly who the people are. Some of these are really high-profile recruits and some things that happened. But it does allow me to really share, you know, for example, you know, in the book, there's a player accused of assault, sexual assault, and you go into the meeting room and hear what the coaches say, because I've been in rooms like that, and I've talked to other coaches who've been in rooms like that. But if I wrote about, you know, if it wasn't a novel setting, I couldn't write as openly about that, because there are difficult things said, and there, you know, and I think that is something that people have to understand. You know, when you're a head football coach in college these days, you're on the clock, and it's been that way for a while, but you're on the clock 24/7. A player could tweet something, a player could do something on Instagram or any of these, or get in trouble. And when the phone rings at 1:30 on a Friday night in March, it's not your academic advisor calling to tell you, hey, congrats, we got five guys that made the dean's list. It's not a good call. It's constant. It doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Jay, looking ahead to this this game Saturday night, and you know I'm excited for it as a Buckeye, and Penn State fans I'm sure are excited as well. But it just, I mean, I say this as an Ohio State guy, the best atmosphere is Beaver Stadium at night. Now I know, you know, once the game gets going, you guys and coaches and players are so focused on play to play what's going on, but that's a huge part of your home field advantage and what I think is one of the best home field advantages. What's that going to be like? I mean, as far as not having fans but not having one of the best, you know, home field advantages in all of football on Saturday night?
Well, I think it's a big deal. I think there's no question that this is I think it benefits a young Ohio State team that's younger in some spots than they've been. But, you know, Urban Meyer said to me, you know, a couple times, you see, that whiteout is a seven-point advantage for Penn State. It really, the things we have to go through on offense in terms of signals and changing signals and being able to communicate because of the noise, it really is a major deal. And not having people in there, it'll be like a, you know, it's like a high school game or a scrimmage, because I think they're going to allow, I think the Big Ten rule is, I think families are allowed, so that each guy gets four tickets. So it's a total of 1,538, which is a far cry from 110,000.
Yeah, it's going to be weird to watch this game. You know, how do you think Penn State responds to that tough loss? A great play by the kid, Penix, from Indiana, getting the football in there at the goal line for the in stones on the coach for making the call. But, you know, being a top, you know, 10 team, Penn State loses their opener. Now they got to come back here and face Ohio State, another top 10 team.
Well, two things. I think Indiana is going to win more games than people think because they had a lot of guys back. Yeah. And I told friends of mine before that game, I said, look, this is not going to be a cakewalk. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the flip side, this week I'm telling them, you know, Ohio State, they're in some positions, they're not quite a proven commodity. You know, and the good thing is when you come off a loss like Indiana, the good thing is you're playing Ohio State, so that gets you excited and gets your attention right away. So there's not a lot of time to moan about what just happened. But on the flip, the bad news is it's you're playing Ohio State the week after you lost Indiana. So it cuts both ways. But I think there's some possibilities here. You know, if you're Penn State, you're looking at it and say you like the matchup. You think you can get some pass rush on Fields. Ohio State's defensive line's younger than they've been, and I think that's going to be a question mark as to whether they can generate the kind of pass rush they're used to. Although Larry Johnson, I don't think he's a better defensive line coach anywhere in the country. You know, Ohio State, their linebackers are experienced, but, you know, there's not a Ryan Shazier, and with no disrespect, the guys are there, but there's not a Ryan Shazier in there, or maybe not an A.J. Hawk or a Laurinaitis in there, but they'll probably play like that Saturday night now that I've said that. And then the quarterback run game. You know, Penn State's utilized that quite a bit, and that's been a problem for Ohio State because of their scheme. In the last 4 years, Penn State's quarterbacks have counted about 66, 67% of Penn State's run game against Ohio State. So, you know, if you're Penn State, you look at those things and say, these are possibilities we can stay in this game and have a chance in the fourth quarter if Ohio State turns the ball over as well.
Jay, that's the last thing I wanted to touch on is that offense. And you guys bring over Kirk Tiraka from Minnesota, did a great job with P.J. Fleck. What are the early returns on him? I know, obviously, last week was a loss, but they're pretty excited about what he might be able to do with Sean Clifford in that offense.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest question marks, you know, if you're Ohio State looking at Penn State's offense, you know, you look and say, well, I got to stop the quarterback run game, and I got to keep Freiermuth out of this thing. I'm going to make this group of young wideouts that are really have not proven they can separate yet. I'm going to make them beat us. Because last week, Indiana did a pretty good job most of that game bottling those guys up. And, you know, you got a guy like Wade out there. He's like Spider-Man. He just gets on he gets on your best wideout, and that guy, you may as well not throw to him the rest of the game. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how Ohio State matches up. On the flip side, you know, I'm going to make Penn State safeties cover my wideouts if I'm Ohio State, because that group is really, really impressive. And Olave, I know he got dinged up, and I'm assuming he's playing, but, I mean, that guy is just a phenomenal football player.
Hey Jay,
and the quarterback's, you know, not bad either.
that is true. Hey, Jay, on a personal note, I'm curious. I mean, you haven't coached since 2011. I mean, I'm not going to go down that road, but I'm just curious how much you missed the game and if you thought about getting back into coaching.
Oh, I missed it a ton. And, you know, right in the dedication of the book, it just says, you know, every time I pass the field, the memories that linger. But, you know, one of the things happened when this all went down at Penn State, I was in litigation with Penn State for a while because they did not honor my contract. So now that litigation is finally done. So as we go to next year, that I've got that behind me. So there'll be some, you know, I'm going to explore some possibilities about getting back into it because I still watch it. I do a TV show over here, so I'm breaking down film every week for that. I've gone, you know, it surprises Penn State fans, but I've been to Ohio State for spring practice. I've been to a bunch of other places. So I've kept my head in the game to try and make sure I know what's going on. So if that opportunity does arise, I'm ready to go.
you know, you've lived in State College your entire life. Would it be weird for you to actually leave and go to another school, or, you know, move out of PA?
Well, for my first 5 years of coaching, I left. I was at University of Virginia, Connecticut, and James Madison. So I'm used to, yeah, it's been a while, and certainly
not
that
since,
would be
not, something. You've been in State College for your whole life, and then 95 on. I mean, that's a long time, James.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, with my kids older now, it's a different. It would be different. And, you know, the question is, you know, it would be weird to leave. And, again, you know, especially, I mean, if I were to be coaching at a Big Ten school, that would be really strange to come in here and be on the other side. Like, that's one thing I've never had to do. But you know what? You know, I really enjoy being around college athletes. I enjoy having an impact on people. I've done some things with interns for some projects here to have an impact. I guest lecture a bunch. So I really enjoy that aspect of it. And if the opportunity arises, I'm certainly going to jump on it.
Do you have a relationship with Coach Franklin, the staff there now at Penn State? Like, would you be open to going back?
Yeah, a little
coach
bit, but I've kind of kept my nose out of it because the last thing I think that I want to do is be that coach that's in town going, right. Oh, you know, hey, why aren't you guys doing this? Or when we were here, we did that. I let them do their thing. They reach out occasionally, and when they do, you know, I'll talk to them. But I've kind of let them do their own thing. But I've gone to every home game. I won't get to go tomorrow, even though I'm a trustee at Penn State. I don't get a ticket tomorrow or Saturday. Which I want to adopt one of the kids in the team so that I become a family member. You know, whatever it takes.
Well, the book is called Hot Seat, A Year Inside College Football's Pressure Cooker. Our guest has been Jay Paterno. The book is available on Amazon. You can also get it at jvpaterno.com and more. Remember, that book came out back in August. I'm really looking forward to checking this thing out. Anywhere else that folks can find the book, Jay?
Those are two places now, and then we're going to distribute it more widely when we get towards the Christmas season. But I think Ohio State fans will really enjoy it because, you know, having recruited in that state for 17 years and been around, it's a lot of familiarity. In fact, there is a Glen Oak kid on the team. Hey, there's a roster in the team, so Glen Oak is represented there, Dustin.
I love it. I love it. Jay Paterno with us. Hey, Jay, how's the fam? Everyone doing okay?
Everybody's doing great. My mom is driving us all nuts, and with the COVID stuff, we're trying to keep her from sneaking out of the house too much. And she said, I had to keep you guys from sneaking out of the house, and now it's my turn.
She's a little ornery, isn't she?
Yeah.
Jay, it's awesome to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Take care, guys. Appreciate it, and have a great weekend. Not too great, but a good one.
I like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.